From the book of Joshua, we turn now our attention to the gospel according to Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 25, and we read today the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Listen to these words as they come to us from Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. May they be alongside of Joshua today, God's living word for us today. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he tells them, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy, and they slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up, and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there won't be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" These words from Matthew chapter 25, by the Holy Spirit, the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I begin today, I want to thank our handbell choir for being part of our worship this day. I always enjoy it, and I've noticed, Carl, over the past couple years, we've added some new faces, so we're growing the talent pool here. Amen? Amen. I want to thank the members of our sanctuary choir for singing as often as they do as well. It is truly one of the biggest lifts for all our ministries here. They volunteer so much time, and we are grateful to each and every one of them for filling this space with beautiful music week in and week out. So thank you to the choir. I also want to say thank you to veterans. If you're here with us this morning and you're a veteran, would you just stand briefly so we can thank you? Thank you very much. Thank you guys very much. May God be with all of the folks who serve this Veterans Day. They would know that they are thankful, that we are all thankful. I encourage you all to continue to pray for the men and women serving right now. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but very much on my heart is my nephew, Joseph Russell, who's on the Ike. He's on the Eisenhower in the Persian Gulf right now. And I pray for him sometimes twice a day, maybe more. I think about him all the time. So may God bless the men and women who are serving at this hour. That being said, whenever I read this parable, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, I think of that gospel song, you know, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, because the time is drawing on, right? It's a reminder that we're supposed to be prepared, and it's a reminder that oftentimes a lot of human life is waiting. And really, that's what this parable is about. It's about waiting. These bridesmaids are waiting for this bridegroom. That's essentially the activity of the parable. And the truth is that all of us are waiting for something. Some of us are waiting for the baby to be born, right? Do you remember that? Families of little ones, do you remember that? All that waiting. Sometimes we wait for the results from the test. We wait for the grandkids to come home. We wait for our relatives to arrive. We wait for the package, the graduation party, the wedding, the acceptance letter, the job offer. A lot of life, a lot of human life is waiting. And a lot of the wisest among us, one thing that the wisest among us have a lot of is patience, because a lot of life is practicing patience. There's a good reason the hospital calls us patients while we're there. You wait around when you're in the hospital. You wait to feel better. You wait for the medication to work. You wait for the nurse to come put you in the chair to wheel you down the hallway so you can get the x-ray. It's just a whole lot of waiting. That's why they call us patients. And this parable is about a bridegroom and bridesmaids who are waiting on him, with the central crisis being that they have a lot of chance to get this wrong. Will they wait successfully? Will they fall asleep? Will they oversleep? Will they have enough oil to get through the duration of the night to keep those lamps trimmed and burning? Last week, we talked about how, biblically speaking, wisdom is always among the most valuable commodities that we can possess. We talked about how every time in the Bible we get wisdom, we get foolishness juxtaposed with it. And of course, that makes sense, but I want you to remember that that's really a biblical truth. It is consistent from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And this parable makes no mistakes about it. Like, you can't miss it. Here's how it begins. For the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this. There are 10 bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom, and 5 of them are wise, and 5 of them are foolish. Like, this is no subtlety here at all in Matthew 25, in this parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Half of them are ready for the long night. They've brought sufficient oil. Those are the wise. And the other half are foolish because they didn't bring any extra oil at all. They have no plan, and they're caught in the cold, dark night. So maybe the more important question than, like, are we good at waiting? Are we good at practicing patience? Is this: are we wise in our waiting? Do we prepare to wait? How are we in practicing patience, wise or foolish? And you also need to know there are 5 major teaching sections in Matthew's gospel, and it's 28 chapters. We get 5 huge sections of teaching. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5. And here, Matthew 25, what we read today, it's the beginning of the last of those 5 major teaching sections. This section 2, chapter 25, is actually comprised of 3 parables. The one today, the 10 bridesmaids, is followed by the parable of the talents. And lastly, probably the most beloved of the 3, is the parable of the sheep and goats at the end. And this will represent Jesus' last long section of teaching before he is arrested. And Matthew sets it up so that we will pay special attention to this final section of Jesus' teaching in this gospel. Now, there's a lot going on in this parable, more than I can cover in one single sermon. But suffice to say this, it is important and it is worthy of our attention because it asks us whether or not we are prepared for the presence of God in our lives. Will we be ready for the kingdom of God when it appears and shows up all around us? We are all waiting for it, yes. But are we wise in our waiting? Will we be prepared? You need to know, too, there's some little nuances in here that I think are interesting. First, the word for bridesmaids is a really complicated word in the Greek. It's got lots of different translations. If you go home and read this in your Bible at home, it may not say bridesmaids. It can also mean young women. It can mean unmarried women, or even some translations read 10 virgins. It's a complicated word. I prefer bridesmaids, though, as the translated word, and I think it's in our version of our translation today, because this is a parable about a wedding, and we've got a bridegroom. And whenever you've got a bridegroom, you can imply or at least assume that there's a bride, and chances are she's going to have some bridesmaids around. So I like bridesmaids. 2 other things to note. One is that this is actually culturally really accurate. In Jesus' time, this is how families got married. The bridegroom would come into the town to meet the bride at her house to get married, and the bridesmaids would wait for the bridegroom to arrive and sort of parade him through town till they got to the bride's house. This could happen day or night, and usually they had lamps. Usually they did, because it was festive. This was the most exciting event in the life of the town when it happened. So day or night, they would lead the bridegroom to the bride's house in order to signify the celebration. And the second thing to note is that in this parable, the bridegroom, well, allegorically, it's the Son of God. Jesus is the bridegroom in this parable. It's a parable about his second coming. It's a parable about patience as we wait for the return of the Lord. It's a parable about being prepared as we wait for him to come back. A lot of people spend a lot of time trying to figure out the day and time of Christ's second coming, of Christ's return. A lot of people try to pinpoint it down. I will say that I've seen this accelerate recently with the horrible war in Israel and Gaza. the one that began on October 7th, I've seen three different instances of Christian leaders or people predicting that this war is inevitable and inevitably the beginning of the second coming, like it's already signifying something about Armageddon. The problem with doing that kind of work, though, is what Jesus says himself. Matthew 25, verse 13, the last verse I read, Jesus says, keep awake because you can't know the day or the hour. Now, Presbyterians don't do that. We don't spend a lot of time trying to decipher the date of the second coming because we take Jesus at his word. It cannot be known. We take it on faith that God is in heaven's heaven and that God, sovereign God, is in control of the universe through sovereign grace. That said, when Matthew's gospel was finished, 50, 55, 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus, the people who were reading this gospel originally thought that Jesus was coming back soon and very soon. They could not have imagined that we'd still be sitting here waiting 2,000 years later. Now, in academic and theological circles, this type of thinking is what we call eschatology. And it's our believing and our thought about the second coming and the kingdom of God. But like I said a moment ago, we don't talk about it so much because ultimately it's up to God. We cannot know the day or the hour. That having been said, we can't throw up our hands, though, and do nothing either. In the church, we must continue to look for both the literal Christ and the Spirit of Christ because it's part of the duty of the church. Alongside loving God and alongside loving our neighbors, we are commanded to look for the Spirit of Christ all around us. That's the mission that Jesus set up for us. And today he's got a stark warning in Matthew 25. Keep awake. Be alert. Don't get lulled to sleep by waiting. Be patient and wise because God is alive. Jesus is real. So stay awake and be on the watch. Oh, I know that some of these things that I'm talking about today seem strange and supernatural and otherworldly, but they are part of our faith and part of our understanding about who God is and who we are. The larger point is to be alert for whenever we feel the presence of grace, the goodness of God, and the wonder of Christ all around us. The point is to never be asleep when the wonder of the divine is unfolding before us. The point is to be awake when God's love is poured into our lives. The point, be prepared enough to have oil enough to join the parade and be part of the celebration and the banquet of grace, to serve the Lord each and every day with our best as we follow Christ, pray for justice, live for kindness, and walk humbly before God. Of course, the challenge is that this type of living, this type of waiting, this type of wise patience, it's hard work. It is a challenge to our faith and our response in faith to all that God has given us, to the duty of being on the lookout for the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the larger point of the Joshua text that we read today. The people led by Joshua affirm, we want to be in covenant with God. We want to follow God. And Joshua tells them, well, it's hard to follow God because once you make that kind of declaration, the first thing that God does is ask us to be faithful, to tell the truth, to live in love and do all those things that God would have us do. And so serving the Lord is a high and mighty calling that keeps us awake to the glimmer of grace. These unprepared bridesmaids of Matthew, the five foolish ones, they've missed the point entirely. We should always be ready for the arrival of the grace of God. This is the duty of being in covenant with God. Oh yes, friends, God will love us. God will forgive us regardless of our mistakes. But we run the risk. We run the risk of missing the grace given to us when we are not living for and serving the Lord. So, keep awake. Keep awake for grace. Give our hearts to causes that are bigger than ourselves. Love the church. Love our neighbors. Serve the Lord. Follow the law of God. That means we tell the truth when it's hard. It means we are faithful to our promises when they're hard to keep. It means that we remember the guidance of God and we follow it, even when it is difficult and overwhelming to do so. This parable is pretty matter of fact. This one's one of those that doesn't really need a decoder ring to decipher. Are we prepared to follow the law of God so that we might be awake for the grace of God? That's the crisis and the question of belief that the parable seeks to address. I pray that when that question is asked of us, that each of us will answer it well, and that we will awake each and every time the grace of God appears in our lives. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning, friends, and may God bless you this day as we gather around this table. Amen. Friends, keep your lamps trimmed and keep them burning. Go out and be a light in the world as we have received like this day, that in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you would be blessed on this Sunday morning and always until we meet again. Thanks be to God. Alleluia and amen.